Well, did you come hungry for the Word of God here today? Yeah, I tell you what, you did pretty good. Praise the Lord. You know, there's two kinds of Christians out there. You know, there's the kinds of Christians that, you know, they take every opportunity to miss church. Or there's those out there that take every opportunity to be in the house of God. Amen. We're not those that look for an excuse to stay home. Amen. We look for an opportunity to be gathered in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. And that's you here today. And I'll tell you what, as we hear the Word of God, we get strengthened. We get helped. Praise the Lord. He moves us further along in the plans and purposes He has for our lives, both individually and corporately as a church family. Amen. Well, turn with me in your Bible, probably to an area of the Bible you don't turn that often. Go to the book of Joel. Go to the book of Joel in the Old Testament, chapter 2. Of course, Joel is considered a minor prophet, all right? But God never called him that. You know, they kind of prescribe that to Joel. And when you get to heaven someday, don't call him a minor prophet. Because he's going to say, yeah, if I was so minor, why did Peter preach my prophecy on the day of Pentecost? Praise the Lord. And of course, go over to Joel chapter 2. We're going to start down there in verse 21. And today I'm going to call this message, God Will Restore. God will restore. Amen. Last week I preached a message called A New Season is Upon Us. And during that message, I was just declaring some things that the Lord is sharing, not to just this church, but also to the body of Christ, that there's a new season, there is a new change, and He is changing things for the sake of His people on this earth. Praise the Lord. For the sake of those that will be faithful, for those that are loyal to Him. Amen. Those that have been faithful even in the midst of a trial or many trials. Maybe, you know, 2016 might have seemed at times like a time to endure some things. Well, I'll tell you what, a new season and a new time is upon us. Praise the Lord. Last week we looked at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. It says that God changes the times and the seasons. He sets up kings. He puts down kings, right? And God changes things in the earth. He changes seasons for the sake of His church. Amen. Now, when I say that, that's not just family church. That's for any church that calls upon Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, we've been running for a time and it seems like the wind has been directly in our face. But I tell you what, He has switched that season and now the wind that was once in our face is now at our back. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And God is accelerating some things and He is restoring some things. And we talked about some of the things that were going to happen in the season here in the months, years ahead. Not all in one day, not all in one week, not for everybody all at once. But over this season isn't just a day. All right. It's a time period. It's an appointed time of refreshing. It's an appointed time for God's people to reap. It's an appointed time for God to do things in the lives of His people. And if you're sitting here and if you're dealing with feelings and questions of doubt, all right, the devil is going to try to steal this season from His people by getting to say, well, it sure doesn't feel like a season of refreshing. I don't see it yet. Where is it? Well, I'll tell you where it is. It's directly ahead, but it's at the other end of your faith and your believing. You know, and if you want to be one of the people that miss it, you know, and, you know, you want to get into doubt and unbelief and things, you'll miss this season. You know, and I'll just say, boy, this is unction right off the top. I wasn't planning on talking about this. I'll tell you what, there's going to be two main things that God or that the devil is going to try to do to get Christians to miss this season. All right. He's going to try to affect marriages and he's going to try to put financial pressure on people. And again, how that relates to marriage. He is going to come after things regarding the home and things regarding the marriage. And I'll tell you what, when marriage is in upheaval, people get very, very discouraged. All right? People start feeling, well, our relationship isn't going very well. My spouse isn't doing what they're supposed to. He's going to try to stir up strife. He's going to try to move you into blame. Listen, you know the moment you are receiving accusational thoughts and you're moving and you're accusing your spouse of not being good enough, you are harboring the very thoughts of the enemy. He is an accuser of the brethren. That is the devil's MO. That is his way of doing things. He tries to move people to a place where they blame, because that is exactly what he does. He's always trying to condemn. He's always trying to blame, always saying that someone's not good enough, and he's going to be trying to do that, stir up that strife in your marriage, because he needs to get that strife in there. The Bible says over there in James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, it says, where there is strife and envy, there is confusion in every evil work. The devil cannot just barge down your door and create havoc, all right? He's got to try to promote strife and fighting and arguing. And he's going to try to get Christians to miss this season by strifing in their marriage. Well, it sure is quiet in here today. Whoa. Praise the Lord. And so we talked about the things that we're going to, that the Spirit of God is speaking to the church. Jesus said over there in Revelation 2:29, he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. The Holy Ghost will speak supernaturally to the people of God. He will tell them about seasons and what to look for. Isn't that what Jesus told us about the Holy Ghost? In John 16:13, he said, he, the Holy Ghost, will show you things to come. Maybe that'll happen privately in your prayer time, but that also can happen in a corporate setting when you're gathered with your local church. The Spirit of God starts to deliver the message of what's coming up ahead. Amen. Don't miss it, because it's on us now. Praise the Lord. And we saw this last week. We talked about financial breakthrough that's going to be part of this season. But we also talked about how fruit was going to be restored. Amen. And so today, we're going to focus on the aspects of that, what God's going to restore in this season, and also our part that we have to play to participate with it. Amen. Have you found Joel chapter 2? Joel chapter 2. We are in verse 21. And I'm just going to tell you, this prophecy was written at a time in Israel's history when things were very adverse for them. You know, partially because of their own fault, you know, some of their backslidings and whatever, but also just because the season was just adverse for them. There was a lot of trials, there was a lot of trouble, there was a lot of things to endure. And then, of course, God starts telling them about how he's changing things and how there's a season that's ahead for them. And in verse 21, he says this, and of course, when we read the rest of this chapter, it's going to start sounding very familiar to you, because this chapter was preached by Peter the Apostle on the day of Pentecost. All right, so when you read this chapter 2 in the book of Joel, it becomes New Testament scripture. So don't just take chapter 2 here and say, oh, this doesn't apply to us. Well, yes, it does, because Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost for this time period. Amen. Glory to God. And he says in verse 21, he says, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice. Boy, that sounds so poetic and like it's just a suggestion, you know. No, that is actually an instruction. Be glad and rejoice. Yeah. He says, for the Lord will do great things. He says in verse 22, he says, be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree bears her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. And you say, well, God's talking to the animals of the field. Well, you know what he's doing? He's saying, I'm going to bring such a fruitful season upon your land that even the wild beasts are going to eat good. And if the wild beasts are going to eat good, you're going to eat good. If the wild beasts are going to reap, his people are certainly going to reap. Glory to God. Amen. Verse 23, it says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately. Now, that word moderately to us, we think it just means kind of at a, you know, slow, steady pace. That's not actually what that word moderately means. It's actually the word righteously. God's going to, or you could say it this way, faithfully. He's going to faithfully show up with the former rain, all right? And he will cause to come down for you the rain and the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Listen, I got to teach you what this is about. All right, if you were Jewish in the Old Testament, now remember, he prophesies this to the New Testament folks. But if you were a Jew hearing this in the Old Testament, you'd understand what that meant. That would be a huge statement. Because in that land, they had what they called the former rain and the latter rain. And it was just a natural part of the growing process. That when they would plant their crops in the spring, of course, the early spring season, there would be rains that would fall that they depended upon to kind of jumpstart those crops as they were planting them. And then, of course, they would go through a dry season, like what we would call summer. And then in the harvest season, there would be what they call the latter rain, that it would fall. You know, they would depend on the rains, you know, to come and to water those crops right before harvest time, and it would give those crops a boost. And in the Old Testament, when they talked about the former and the latter rain, it wasn't just talking about the atmospheric conditions. It was talking about the provision of God. It was talking about God's goodness to their land. And God starts prophesying to them. He said, I am going to give you the former and the latter rain all at once, all within 1 month. Yes. Glory to God. He said the former rain and the latter rain are going to come together and it's just going to rain. Yes. Glory to the Lord. Yeah. I'll tell you what. And if this is promised in the Old Testament, which by the way, like I said, Acts chapter 2, this is prophesied again in the New Testament. But I'll tell you what, if that was how good God's promises were to them of the old, how much more? How much more? And we are moving into a season that is going to be very similar to this. It is a great outpouring of God. Hallelujah. And when the former and the latter rain fell all at the same time, it was going to accelerate the growth of that land. It was going to accelerate their harvest. It was going to give them more than they had ever seen before. If you're thinking that I'm just here to preach a flowery message, just hold on. Just hold on. I'm not here. If you've been around here long enough, I don't preach encouraging things just for the sake of encouraging you. We speak what the Holy Ghost says to the church. And this is a season that is upon the body of Christ. And there's going to be a lot of encouraging things, but there is going to be discipline on our part. And we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. So you're rejoicing now. I trust you'll be rejoicing when we get to that part as well. All right. And then so we keep going on, and it says in verse 24, it says, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. Maybe a better term is the vats, but the King James quotes it as the fats. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And he says this in verse 25, he said, I will restore. Everyone say restore. He says, God says, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and you shall eat in plenty, and you will be satisfied, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied. You will praise the name of the Lord your God. He has dwelt wondrously. I just read that verse twice. Verse 27, it's worth reading twice. In verse 27, he says, you shall know I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Notice how God said, you'll know I'm in the midst with you. Yes. You'll know when I'm in the midst, because when I'm there, things are going to accelerate. Yes. Things are going to start prospering. Things are going to start clicking. Glory to God. Listen, I'm not here so much this morning. I knew that this message, it isn't going to be an intellectual teaching by any means. This is going to be some preaching. It's going to be some declaring, because we're moving into it. And a lot of times God will pave the way into a new season by having things declared, having things preached. Listen, if something is going to get on you, something's going to get in you about hearing this. And, you know, it's God calling you to himself to get into this season. Praise the Lord. In verse 27, you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord, your God, none else. My people shall never be ashamed. Glory to the Lord. Yep, and it says in verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Sound familiar to anybody? What does this sound like? Sounds like Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. Notice in verse 28, the word afterward. All right? It shall come to pass afterward. You know, so he's talking about the season of the former and the latter rain happening all at once. This season of financial breakthrough, this season of restoring things. And then he says, afterwards, I'll pour out my spirit. And we see that word afterward and we think, okay, this is going to happen. And then after that, a separate event is going to happen. The word afterward here does not mean a separate event. It means a conjunction. It means to happen at the same season. All right, you can study that word yourself in the Hebrew. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I look them up in the same books you can look up. But I thought to myself when I read that, I'm like, well, it almost sounds like two different events. Like here's this season of the former and the latter rain coming together, and then afterward, then he'll pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So I studied that word, and I realized, oh, that makes a lot more sense. It means I will put these two things together. I will put together an overflow and a blessing in your land, and I'll combine it with an outpouring of my spirit. Because when God causes prosperity to come upon land, it is never just a financial prosperity. Financial prosperity without an increased hunger and desire for the Holy Ghost is not prosperity. When God moves, it's an outpouring of spirit, soul, and body. Meaning it'll bless you spiritually, it'll bless you mentally, it will bless you physically and financially. When God moves, he moves across all areas of life. It's not just a spiritual blessing. It shows up. He said, you'll know I'm in the midst. You'll look around and you'll see the bountifulness. And he said, you'll know I'm in the midst with you. See, people thought when God moved in, he made people poor. That's old religion and it's wrong. God says over and over in his word, you know, Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. Where God is, he will move abundance in our midst. You know, it's not so we get selfish. No, not because the church is money-minded. Listen, but he says, when I move in, I'm going to pay debt. I'm going to pay your bills. I'm going to meet your needs. He said, you will look and say, God is in the midst in Israel. Because you'll look and see the season that'll come upon you. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, this season is upon us spiritually. It's upon us for the sake of the church. It's also upon this nation politically and economically. It's upon us. Praise the Lord. And no, it's not because our incoming president is a savior or anything like that. No, that what happened in the election is just one piece of the pie that God was doing. And you say, well, I don't like the outcome of the election. Well, whatever. We're not here to disagree politically or whatever. I'm just telling you what God's doing. He's doing things that shock the world because he's changing the season for the sake of the church. And government is just one aspect that tries to influence or hinder the church. And God's getting those things out of the way. Glory to the Lord. Yup. It shall come to pass afterward, or I will conjoin these things together. Your financial blessing, this outpouring of economic prosperity upon your land. He says, and I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Boy, that gets some religious people upset. Your sons and your daughters, your men and your women. Praise the Lord. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Yeah. What were the servants and the handmaids? They were the ones that were unlikely candidates. They were lower level social class. The people that you didn't think were worth it. People that society had considered rejected. People that society had considered outcast. God said, I'm going to pour my spirit upon those that have been lowly, those that have been facing adverse conditions. He said, I'm going to pour out, I'm going to move my spirit upon those. Glory to God. Verse 30, he says, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth. So what's in this season? Miracles. Wonders. Yeah, don't you want people to look at your life and say, boy, I wonder how that happened. I wonder how that happened. This is a time of wonders. And I'll tell you why, because the world's sitting around it started just in the political arena. The whole world's wondering, how did that happen? How did that happen? Well, you say, well, you're saying that God voted for Donald Trump. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that there was a shock to the world, and God's hand was a part of it, not because of political reasons, but to get government out of the way for the sake of the church. And it's a wonder. It's a surprise. The word wonder means a surprise or a shock. Yeah, praise the Lord. It might look like it's starting there, but it's not ending there. There's going to be a lot of wonders in your life. Like, oh my goodness. And I'll just be honest. I'm seeing it already happen. I'm seeing it already happen, not just personally, but with several believers. I mean, people have already gotten telling me, oh my goodness, this just came out of nowhere. This came out of nowhere. I wonder how did that happen? It's a wonder. It's a wonder. Yeah, he's going to show wonders in the heavens, wonders in the earth, wonders in your life, wonders in this church. They're going to look at what God's doing in our midst and say, how did they do that? How did that happen? How'd they pay off that building? How'd they start that church? How did they fund that project? How did that happen? Glory to God. Because this is a season where God is showing wonders in the heavens and in the earth. Praise the Lord. Blood and fire, pillars of smoke. Ooh, wow. Well, that's pretty heavy duty. Yeah, well, the Bible gives us, the Bible always gives us a picture of a polarized earth. When God starts moving the strongest, all right, the devil will also move the strongest too. You're going to see, the devil try to prevent and try to raise violence on this earth. Isn't he trying to do that right now? You can see how hard the devil is trying to prevent this season by how hard he's kicking. Remember in Mark chapter 5, remember with the madman of Gadara? Remember the man that was possessed with a legion of demons? And Jesus commanded them to leave that man? What happened with that man? They said, don't just send us out. Remember they pleaded with the Lord, don't send us out of this country. Don't send us out of this country. Because what was Jesus saying? He's saying Jesus' influence was prohibiting demonic personalities from ruling in that area or that region. And they said, don't send us out of here. Don't send us out of here. You remember that? They didn't want to leave that area. They didn't want to leave that region, or they didn't want to leave that government. I'll tell you what's happening. The devil is kicking and screaming hard because he knows he is having to take his hands off certain elements in this nation. And what did those demons do? They said, please send us into the pigs. Why? Was it because the demons wanted to be in those pigs so bad? No, because what happened the second they got into those pigs? 2,000 pigs. Mark chapter 5. You read your Bibles. Remember? And it says they ran violently down the hill and they drowned in the sea. So those demons weren't there to just live in those pigs. They wanted to destroy those pigs. They wanted to create a violent scene to distract the people of that region away from what God is doing. Remember? And then the people of that region in Gadara, read Mark chapter 5. It says they came out because of the incident with the swine or the pigs, and they told Jesus, we pray that you would leave our coasts. The devil created a violent diversion to try to diminish the influence of Jesus Christ, the head of the church. In the same way the devil is kicking and screaming hard in our country right now with violent protests, with riots, people, hurting other people because they didn't get their choice in the election. Dear Lord, saying, well, they elected a racist, a hater, and everything else, so what we're going to go out and do is damage innocent people's property. It's like saying, you elected someone that's not as loving as I am, and so I'm going to go out and hurt people. What is it? It is the devil. He is absolutely, he's trying to revive a violent distraction. That is what he's doing. Yeah, that is exactly what he's doing, and he's trying to distract people, from what God's doing. He's trying to get people off the wonders of God. Yeah, trying to prevent this season. And now in verse 31, it says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered or saved." Remember, Paul quoted that verse in Romans 10, 13. "For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Notice who God's going to do this for? The remnant. Who's the remnant? Who is the remnant? The Bible tells us the remnant are those that stayed faithful. Those that stayed faithful. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right, go back up to verse 25. Now, I don't typically make a habit of reading the Message Bible. It's a paraphrase. It's not a scholarly translation of the Bible, but sometimes it'll help you understand what the Lord is saying. In the Message Bible, in verse 25, actually, I'm just going to read out of the Amplified. The Amplified is definitely a little bit more trustworthy. The Amplified says this in verse 25, "I will restore or replace." Can we bring up that verse? Hey, they're already on it. "I will restore or replace for you the years that the locust has eaten." Now, maybe the locust hasn't eaten too much of your stuff, but it is an illustration. The word locust means the devourer. All right, you can look it up yourself. It's actually the word for devour. And he's saying, whatever the economy stole from you, I'm going to restore it. Glory to God. Whatever you've lost, God's going to restore it. And if it's something that can't be restored, then he's going to replace it. That which you've lost in this previous season, God is going to restore or replace. Glory to God. He is going to restore or replace a fruit to the churches. There's going to be people that have that gave up on God, and they're going to look back and they're going to say, "My happiest place was in the house of God." You're going to see families. You're going to see people. They're going to return to the house of God. Praise the Lord. We're going to see Christian businesses who have struggled year after year. You're going to watch them increase and abound in the days ahead. Praise the Lord. I'm just declaring it. Because God's going to restore lost business. He's going to restore lost fruit. He's going to restore or replace anything in your life that you've lost. Listen, this is a great opportunity. Say, "I thank you, Father." Listen, the devil does not get the final word. He does not get the final word in your house. He doesn't get the final word with your family. He doesn't get the final word with your business. Amen. I'm here to tell you, if there's something you've lost, listen, whether it's, people to a local church, whether it's finances to a business or to a home, if it's a job or whatever, you are in the season of he's going to start restoring those things. He's going to start restoring those things. He's going to start restoring. I want to read to you Deuteronomy. You don't need to turn there. Another scripture that says something similarly. Deuteronomy 30. And I'm going to read verses 3 through 6, and I'm going to read this in the Message Bible. Just because it's contemporary language, it'll help you to understand. It's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 3 through 6 in the Message Bible. It says, "God, your God, will restore everything you lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick up the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. No matter how far away you end up, God, your God, will get you out of there and bring you back to the land your ancestors once possessed. It will be yours again. He will give you a good life and make you more numerous than your ancestors. God, your God, will cut away the thick calluses on your heart and on your children's hearts, freeing you to love God, your God, with your whole heart and soul, and really live." I like that. He says, if you've had children that have gone wayward, God's going to restore it. Oh, my goodness. If you've had parts of your marriage that have gone wayward, he's going to restore it. He's going to restore it. Now, you're going to have your part to play in this. Amen. And so many people are sitting around, "Well, I don't feel like that now." Well, you wait and see what God's going to do. But as for those that are going to be in the remnant, those are those that will be faithful. All right. So now let's talk about the keys to this season of restoration. Let's talk about our part. Because we like to rejoice. God's going to restore. Yes. Glory to God. But are you willing to do your part? Here's the homework now. Here's the homework. Now, before, you know, we got to praising and shouting about what's written in Joel chapter 2, and remember, he wrote that for the New Testament. This was prophesied. Peter spoke this. All right? We are upon such a season as this in this time, and it's not just for the Old Testament folks. It's for the New Testament folks. But we look back at Joel chapter 2, and we see, wow, God's going to pour out the former and the latter rain at the same time. He's going to restore. He's going to replace. Listen, I'll tell you, this would be an awesome confession to start saying every day of your life. If there's something you've lost, God will restore or replace. He'll restore and replace. He'll restore and replace. He's going to restore and replace hurt relationships in your family. He's going to restore relationships. You know, people that you've been estranged from, you know, there's been some hurtful thing in the past, and he's going to mend relationships. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's going to mend those relationships. He's going to restore your children's hearts to the things of God. If you've had children, grown-up children that have gone wayward, he's going to restore those things. He's going to cut away the calluses. He's going to hear your faithfulness and your prayers that you've prayed for those individuals. Amen. We're just starting declaring it now. If this doesn't bless you, if this doesn't encourage you, I don't know what will. And I'm not saying it just for those facts. I'm saying it because this is what the Spirit is saying to the church. Praise the Lord. But before we started rejoicing what was being read in Joel chapter 2, go over there to verse 12. Before the prosperity upon the land, before the restoration, before the outpouring of the former and the latter rain, he gave them an assignment. In verse 12, he says, "Therefore also now saith the Lord." Now this is before all those goodies. "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart and with fasting." Whew, here's now the part where we're going to see if people are going to start shouting now. See, because we thought the restoration came without a price. We thought, you know, the restored fruit and the restored relationships and the restored businesses and the restored marriages and the financial prosperity upon the land was going to come just automatically with no part on our side. Mm-mm, this is where now it's going to get quiet. Are you ready? We'll see how happy you are. Praise the Lord. "Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn to me with all your heart." He's saying partly because this season of endurance, this season of struggle that was behind you was partially the result of half-heartedness. That there's half-heartedness. There's half-heartedness in the body of Christ. There's half-heartedness in this room. There's half-heartedness in this church. There's half-heartedness in our lives. And listen, now's the time to be honest with yourself. Now's the time to self-examine. Don't examine others. It's time to see where have we been half-hearted. Because if we miss this season, it's not going to be God's fault. He says, now turn away from your half-heartedness. Come on. Turn away from that half-heartedness. Yeah, what's that saying? He's like, God's telling them there was a time when you were more excited about the things of God than you are right now. Mm-hmm. Yep. Say, oh, that doesn't apply to anybody in this room. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Well, you know, I can look back and, you know, I was so excited about the things of God. You know, I used to be a person that looked to every service as an opportunity to be in the house of God. And now you've drifted back into one of those people that takes every opportunity to miss church. Come on now. He said, yeah, turn back with all your heart. Because I've only had half your heart. Yeah, and he says, turn back with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. All right. He's talking about repentance. But notice he says, turn with me with fasting. You know, we think fasting is just the absence of food. But fasting can also be to put aside lifestyles that you've adopted, that have distracted. Put aside something. Well, thank you. Three of you are excited. What are you going to fast? Meaning, what are you going to put aside that's valuable to your flesh? It's become so valuable to your mind, valuable to you personally, because maybe there was a time in your life where you gave God the best part of your day. You gave God the best part of your week. But something else moved in and took its place. That which is distracted. Maybe you spend a little too much time in front of the computer, and all of a sudden it's drained your passion for God. Spend a little too much time in front of the TV, and all of a sudden, your passion for God has grown dim. Spend a little too much time with everything else. Well, I said those things that have now captured your heart, right? Those things that have now taken great interest with you, start fasting them. Start fasting them. How about a little less time on Facebook? You know, how about the time that you were going to sit down and blather about a whole bunch of nonsense on Facebook? Instead of that time, what if you took that time and prayed? What if you prayed and you're getting on it? It almost becomes so habit forming. It's like every night at a certain time, you know, it's almost like you're programmed to go there. What if all of a sudden you said, wait a minute, I'm going to fast this for the next half hour. I'm going to move that thing aside, and I'm going to go somewhere, and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to turn my heart back to God. Why? Because notice, if you want your spirit to get hungry, you better put your flesh, make your flesh hungry for something. So many times, the reason why we're not hungry for the things of God, because we're full on other stuff. You ever had little kids? The reason why you say, no candy right now, right? You know, no, you can't have a piece of pie right now. We're going to be eating dinner in less than an hour. You don't want your kid full on something else before the main meal comes. In the same way, God's people are getting full on other stuff. Getting full, and the devil's just distracting the church. Oh, praise the Lord. God says, now if you're going to, you know, this is the prescription before the tide of prosperity. Before this outpouring of the Spirit, he says, yeah, turn and fast. Turn and put some things down that your flesh just loves. Well, praise the Lord. You know, how about you take some things that are so valuable to your time, so valuable to your flesh, and you give them away? I challenge you, if there's something that has your heart, something that you, listen, there's nothing wrong with enjoying things, folks. But I mean, take of your great personal interest, find somebody else that has that interest, and go bless them with it. What is that? That's fasting from that interest. I have to do that all the time. I have to do that all the time. Praise the Lord. You better put something in that's so important to your flesh, you better learn to put it under. Oh, glory to God. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, not just half your heart. Don't be distracted. He says, now turn with fasting. Put your flesh under. Yeah, it could also mean skipping some meals. I went to church 2 weeks before Christmas, and the pastor starts preaching about fasting. Oh, I know, and believe me, there will be plenty of convicting moments for myself. You know what I mean? This is a season where there's food aplenty and treats aplenty and stuff like that. Listen, I'm not saying you can't enjoy some of that stuff. I'm just talking about putting your flesh under. Amen. He says, turn with me with fasting and with weeping. What does that mean? You say, well, Pastor, you know, weeping, I don't know if I'm going to do a whole lot of weeping. Listen, it should absolutely bother at the heart of every Christian if you're not in the complete, perfect will of God. It should bother you if you get half-hearted. Listen, have you ever been tempted to be half-hearted? Okay, thank you. Five of you are honest. Listen, yes, it happens to pastors too. Get tempted to be half-hearted. You know, things in life get going, things get busy, things get tired. And all of a sudden you just feel drained or whatever, and you have a temptation just to coast. Listen, we've all been there. I've been there. I'm tempted like that all the time. I know you are too. But listen, when those times come, it should absolutely bother us. What's wrong with the heart of a believer to look back on a previous time in your life and say, man, I was more on fire then than I am now, but I'm okay with it. Listen, it should absolutely bother us. Maybe there won't be tears coming down your face, but there should be a godly sorrow in the heart of every believer that can honestly say, I'm just not, you know, on fire for God like I used to be. Well, you know why? Because your flesh has gotten too big. The reason why, you know, your spirit has been washed out by the feeding of your flesh. Yeah. See, the more you make your flesh hungry, more you put it under, more you tell it no, your spirit is going to rise to the top. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's time to kick it into gear. It's time to go with this season of God. Well, I'm glad we kept a couple of our excited people, but boy, it sure got quiet. Sure got quiet. All right, here's the key, number one key, all right, to this season of restoration. All right, we're going to call it discipline and diligence. Discipline. The first assignment that God gave Israel, he said, I want you to discipline yourself. I want you to discipline yourself. God is not going to discipline you. What I mean by that is God is not going to, a disciplined life. I'm not talking about punishment kind of discipline. I'm talking about taking responsibility kind of discipline. Go with me. Hold your place there in Joel chapter 2 and flip back just a few pages to Daniel chapter 10. How many of you believe that Daniel was a man of God? All right. And you say, well, he was a prophet and God just used him mightily. So these things just happen for him automatically. They did not happen for Daniel automatically. They will not happen for us automatically. Go to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Yeah. How many of you know at this point in Daniel chapter 10, God had given a vision to Daniel, and it was something that he didn't know or understand? All right, and so he starts to pray to God, and he prays for 21 days straight. Well, it got quiet in this Holy Ghost church. He prayed for 21 days straight, and he fasted. He put his flesh under because there was something that he had to get. He had to contend for a breakthrough in God. And I'm going to not read the whole passage just for the sake of time. And so he starts fasting. He's praying every day for 21 days straight. And then he gets his breakthrough in verse 12. And it says this, by the way, an angel appears to him. He receives a vision. He receives his answer. He has a great spiritual experience. And in verse 12, this angel is talking to Daniel. And then said he, the angel unto me, Daniel, the angel said to Daniel, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. This was 21 days after Daniel started to pray and after Daniel started to fast. And notice what the angel said to him. He said, because you decided to discipline yourself. Because you set aside extra time for God. Because you did not reward your flesh with what it wanted. Because you put your flesh under, the realm of the Spirit became more relevant to you, revealed to you. He said, because you disciplined yourself and because you prayed, I have now come with your help and your answer. So many of God's people are wondering where the answers are. Well, they're there the whole time. They're just getting drowned out through flesh and other interests. I know. Let's go back to the first half of this sermon. Let's talk about eating plenty. Let's talk about the wind at our back. Because it is. Let's talk about the season and the restoring of the fruit and the restoring of business and finances and the restoring of relationships. We want all that. But I'll tell you what, we will not see it if we move away from discipline. Listen, I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to you. Some of you are sitting there and you're grumpy about it. Well, you know, because some Christians, they have this idea, I'm sitting in church, I'm doing my part. No, you weren't. Just sitting in a house of God don't do one blessed thing for you until you decide to discipline yourself. God isn't going to do it. God didn't discipline Daniel. Daniel had to make that choice. He said, something in my life is going to have to move out so there's time enough to focus on God till I get my answers. And notice from the first day that Daniel disciplined himself, heaven all of a sudden started paying attention. Oh, hey, look at that man. He just made a decision to move something out of his life and to discipline himself before God. Now, heaven now says, oh, well, let's hear what he has to say. And he said, you know, he didn't give up after day one, day two, day 10. He kept going, and then heaven said, move angelic assistance on behalf of this man. He has contended for his answers. Let's move it on his behalf. Listen, so many Christians, they want heaven to move on their behalf. But what are you moving out of your life so heaven can move in? Something's going to have to go. I tell you what, it's always fun being the pastor telling people this. I watch as so many lives get so cluttered with stuff. So cluttered. And then they're looking at me saying, where's my answers? Well, God's speaking them to you. Heaven is desiring to move for you, but you've drowned them out. Oh, with all this stuff. All this stuff. Boy, haven't we been preaching a lot on this? About sensing and knowing what's vital? Not getting distracted. Why? Because God's just trying to emphasize, don't miss this. Don't miss it. You know, I got it was a newsletter from a ministry that I think very, very highly of. And I just got it in the mail yesterday. And this man is very sensitive to the realm of the spirit. And I got it, in the mail. And I look, I open it, and it is very similar, if not verbatim, with the same scriptures of what we preached last week. About the seasons and times changing and things like that, because I've spoken to other ministers in the body of Christ. I preached it in front of Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and I submit that to her. I'm like, is this right? Am I it's right. It's what everyone people that are in the body of Christ and leaders in the body of Christ are all sensing. This season is different for the church. Something has changed. Something is open unto us. And now my part as a pastor is to set it before you and to tell you how not to miss it, because it will not happen automatically. Listen, I'll tell you what, there is such potential in a church like this one where everyone stands up and says, you know what? A little less of this and a little bit more of God. A little less Facebook, a little less TV, a little less hobby, a little time extra for God. I'm going to contend for these things. Folks, I'm going to say this. I want to start promoting it. It's something that I don't do, I haven't done for years, but I'm going to be teaching a series of messages about how to experience the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it's going to be starting on January 1st. And over the next several weeks after January 1st and beyond, I'm going to be teaching about how the Holy Ghost is going to move into this place, how he's going to move into your life, how you can experience God on a daily basis, and it's starting the very first day of 2017. Or you can say it this way, 3 weeks from today. All right, I've been saying that. I announced that Wednesday. I'm telling you now because it's very vital. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. Discipline and diligence. Go to Daniel chapter 2. Let me show you this again. And we'll get ready to wrap it up. Praise the Lord. Go to Daniel chapter 2, and we will start in verse 16 for the sake of time. How many of you remember in Daniel chapter 2, the king of Babylon had a vision and he didn't know and understand it? And he offered this big reward, basically, for anyone that would interpret the dream for him. And all of his magicians and soothsayers and all those people, they couldn't interpret the dream. But there was one in their midst that could. His name is Daniel, right? And Daniel stands up and he hears the dream. The king describes the dream for him. And we think that Daniel just knew and understood it immediately. Even though Daniel was a prophet, even though Daniel, you know, was a mighty man of God, maybe you didn't realize this, that he did not get the interpretation of that dream right away. Look at verse 16. So Daniel, it says, Daniel went in. Now, of course, after he heard what the king had dreamed, Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time that he would show the king the interpretation. So he heard the dream, and Daniel says, King, I need some time. Can you give me some time? And then I'll come back and I'll tell you what that dream means. What did Daniel do? Look at verse 17. It says, and Daniel went to his house and made the things known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are their original Hebrew names. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are names that the king of Babylon gave them. So he tells his best friends in verse 18, and that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. All right, because obviously Nebuchadnezzar had killed all the ones that couldn't interpret the dream. And so Daniel, he's a prophet, he's a mighty man of God, he hears the dream, and he doesn't know and understand it himself. And he says, let me have time so me and my friends can go set aside time to pray and to seek God for this secret so we can bring you the answer. Oh, isn't that awesome? Right? Diligence and discipline.
Right.
All right. These are the answers for questions that you have.
Yes.
That we contend for these things with fasting, with praying, with seeking God.
Yes.
And then you know the rest of the story. Did Daniel get the answer?
Yes.
Yeah, he sure did, but he didn't get it right away. Listen, and only Daniel got the answer. There were others that were praying, and God just gave the answer to Daniel. But yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all prayed it out. Listen, not all of our prayers will give us the answers. God will give revelation to our leadership. God will give revelation to the body of Christ. Amen. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, for the body of Christ to move into this season, to move into this time, it is going to take diligence and discipline. It is going to come for a family of believers that will move that junk out of their life. They will soberly judge themselves and realize, I gotta sow more into God. I gotta sow more into the Spirit. I'm gonna take, how about this? I challenge you. Take your favorite part of the evening. All right? You know that part of the evening? Maybe it's 8 o'clock. I don't know what time it is, but that time that you're resting, that time that is usually just, I want to veg out in front of the TV. I dare you to take a half hour and sacrifice that and pray to God for that half hour or that hour. That time that is most special to you in your time, that precious selfish time, that relaxing time, that vegetative state time. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here? Because I'm starting to think maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. How many of you know that part of the day I'm talking about? And it's special to you. And it's finally quiet or whatever. How about fasting a little bit of that for God? Praise the Lord. How about putting that away and seeking God until the answers come? Because God said, I got a season of restoration. I got a season of prosperity upon the land. But I need my people sacrifice a little bit of their flesh and to move some things, distractions out of their life and give up that half-heartedness and step before me with their whole heart.
Amen.
Folks, are you willing to do it? Boy, that was real encouraging. All right.
Are you ready and willing to do it?
Yeah, praise the Lord. Say, well, Pastor, my flesh is going to hurt. How about Galatians 5:24? Can we bring that up? Galatians 5:24? Christians don't like this message today. Say, well, Pastor, we're trying to grow a church. You don't preach like that. Yes. Listen. It's not about everybody in the world coming through those doors. It's about the right people coming through those doors. Listen, and what it's about are all of us deciding, I want to be a core Christian. Do you know what a core Christian is? Someone who is at the center of God's plan. Remember when Jesus said, remember in Mark chapter 4, he said, there's four kinds of soil. All right, and the first three kinds of soil, which was a reflection, it was an illustration of people's hearts. Remember, the wayside couldn't be used. They were hard-hearted, couldn't use them. Then there was the stony ground, which they had immediate excitement, but they lost their excitement for God. All right. Then there was the thorny ground, people that get choked out. The word gets choked out because they get so busy in life. And then the fourth kind of ground, he says, there's good ground. And even within that good ground, there's 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit. So if you, okay, first of all, only 25% is good ground. And out of that 25%, only a third of that is 100%. So that makes it what? About 8.3%. I know, don't you love the statistics? 8.3% of God's people are 100-fold people. You know, and only 25% are 30, 60, and 100-fold. And those are the ones that are going to be at the core. They're the ones that are going to be at the center of what God's doing. I want to be a core Christian. Praise the Lord. I don't want to just be a core Christian. I want to be a 100-fold fruit. Praise the Lord. Oh, amen. Discipline and diligence. Prayer and time gave way to revelation and vision. Not everyone who prayed got the vision, but Daniel's companions prayed something down from heaven. You could say it like this. I know it's the Old Testament. We could say it like this. The body of Christ got their season because someone prayed. Yeah. They got, you know, and lives were spared. Right? Daniel wasn't killed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't killed. The rest of the Jews weren't killed because someone prayed something down from heaven. So often we talk about what we can pray up. Let's you know, we just talk to God about our issues, our stuff. God, I want this, I want that, I want this. But there's nothing wrong with bringing things up to God. But how about we set some time aside and say, Father, I want to pray your plan down. It's not just what I want to pray up. I want to bring something down. Glory to God. And this season will require people that will pray something down. Are you getting something out of this today? Did you get some help? Yeah, remember, you were sure encouraged about the first half of this sermon. You know, it was a little louder in here. The first half of this sermon was way louder than the second half. Because Christians love promises without commitment. I love the promises of God, but I don't like the responsibility. You know, I if you wonder why I chuckle when I say things, because I can see your faces. No, I'm kidding. But there are some people, they just hear it, and they want a path of least resistance kind of faith. And folks, unfortunately, the path of least resistance is what has been preached in America for too long now. God is doing something amazing in our land and in the body of Christ. And he's saying, come back to me. Turn away from that half-heartedness. Put your flesh under like you used to. Take every opportunity to be in the house of God, not every opportunity to not be in the house of God. Listen, you start showing the devil you take opportunities to not be in the house of God, he's going to make sure you have more of them. Oh, but I got to take care of this. I got to take care of this. I got to take care of this. He's going to make sure there's more to take care of. Well, I stayed home because me and my wife got in an argument today. Yeah, he's going to make sure there's more arguments. He will do anything to keep you out of the house of God. He'll do anything to keep you from chastening yourself. Mm-hmm. Did you get some help? And then we're going to talk about, because we talked about an afterword, or combined with this season, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
January 1st,
how to experience the Holy Ghost. We're going to start, and I'm going to teach a several-week series of messages about how to experience the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we have a lot of people that have been here for a lot of years, and some of it, and maybe most of it, some people might know, but we're going to get back to it. Get back to it, because what's God wanting to do in this season of restoration? There's no such thing as a season of restoration without an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It doesn't exist. Right. And if you want to experience God in your life, don't miss those messages. Amen. I'm going to teach you how to experience God and how we experience God together corporately. Amen? Amen.